If you hang around our family a little bit, you'll discover that we seem to sort of have a gift of sarcasm.
Yeah, we do.
You could debate whether it's a gift or not, but it can flow in our family. And so several years back, a sarcastic declaration started to emerge in our family. We heard a popular motivational speaker explain his concept of the blessed life, the blessed life. And one way this speaker believes he experiences blessing is by getting a good parking spot. Yeah, for real. That's the guy's concept of blessed life, a good parking spot, really. So we picked up on this within our family, and Nance and I, the boys were just little at the time, and we started teasing about it. So we'd be out together somewhere, and we'd land this primo parking spot at the grocery store, and Nance would look at me and go, "Living the blessed life today," you know, that kind of thing. So our boys picked up on this, of course, and wouldn't you know, every time the holidays when we would go to park at the mall, and you know how that goes at the holidays. It's just crazy land out there trying to park. And if we would get a way at the back of the parking lot spot, one of our sons would go, "Not so blessed today, Dad. Not so blessed today." We'd shake our heads. Thanks for the sarcasm. Yeah. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, we're going to dive deeper into this concept of blessed. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, St. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." The New Living Translation says it this way, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." Now, Paul's saying this. We're big-time blessed in Christ to be a big-time blessing to others. We're big-time blessed in Christ to be a big-time blessing to others. Last week, we opened this series in verses 1 and 2. Paul, we discovered last week, is aiming to reframe how we see ourselves, to help us think more of ourselves based on what Christ thinks of us. In our everyday rough and tumble, we lean more readily toward sinking thinking, or at times stinking thinking. Wrong voices echo the hallways of our hearts and minds. Thoughts like, "You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not going to measure up in that situation. You can't make it. You're dumb. You're weak. You're insufficient. You're less. You're useless. And you're all alone." And such thinking has spiked during this current heavy season of life that all of us are facing. The Apostle Paul, sent by God, apostle, we talked about it last week, a sent one by God the Father on a mission to more people in more places, has a whole different perspective, a whole different perspective on who we are in Christ, who we are in Christ Jesus. We launched our series last week realizing that we're called to be faithful with growing consistency of faith, ever-growing trust and connectedness, both with Christ and with others. App question for you. And by the way, these are available every week in the church app there. So if you go to Church Center, if you gain that app on your phone or your tablet, Church Center, and then just select Manor Church, and you can see these questions and other notes and other how to be ready for next week info each week on the church app. App question for you. What helps you reframe? What actually helps you reframe? What helps you remember that you're blessed? It's so easy right now to lose sight of the fact that you're blessed, that you are truly blessed. It's so easy to lose sight of that. Pressing further, we come to Ephesians 1:3. And we discover it right here. We're blessed. starting in verse 3 and stretching all the way to verse 14. It's actually one very long sentence in the original Greek language. Paul supplies a cascading doxology of praise to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, we often associate blessed, hashtag blessed, with something like bountiful, right? We hear blessed and we think bountiful. Fall exploded at our house this weekend, as in Nance pulled out all the fall decorations. Okay, they're all over the house. Our life group is coming tonight. Hopefully they'll be all where they need to be and all of summer gone, right? And so we got mums going out front. We got the gourds and the pumpkins and all that stuff going. So fall exploded. And this just happens in my heart. When fall explodes at our house, I immediately get anticipatory toward one of those, you know, big family gatherings when the kids come in and other friends come in and the big spread on the table and you think bountiful this time of year. And we tend to associate that readily with hashtag blessed. Or sometimes we see hashtag blessed and we think, carefree and wealthy, like the concept that you might land your dream job and only need to putz a couple hours a day with the luxury of traveling anytime, anywhere, wherever you want. Or we tend to think blessed and, well, we immediately think healthy. Blessed, hashtag blessed, healthy, like never an ache or a pain or need for a doctor visit. I bet there's not a person in the room that leads that kind of life, right? I mean, I'd be great, right? But what's it seem like? The further you do life, the more miles you put on these bodies, what happens? Well, life happens and doctor's visits happen and all of that. We tend to associate healthy beyond belief with blessed. Or at times we think blessed and we immediately think wise. Hashtag blessed equals wise. Like you know exactly what to do, when to do it, when to say it, how and with whom for maximum success. And so we think wise that leads to success. Or we often think blessed means got it all together. Like these couples on these home improvement shows where they land this like dream makeover on their house. Doesn't it just kill you, all those shows where you're like, they show their house before and all the before and after pictures. And what do we tend to do? We think, oh, that's blessed. You get your house redone like that. That's blessed. They got it all together. And if you ponder any of these descriptors that we so often associate with hashtag blessed, well, when I really ponder them, the words of the Princess Bride come to mind. I do not think blessed means what you think it means. For the Apostle Paul, blessed in 1:3 carried a much richer, more robust meaning. The word is so important that variations of the same root show up 3 times right here. Blessed is actually one word made up of 2 parts that literally says speak good or good speech, good declaration, good pronouncement. Blessed. Right here, Paul conveys 2 vantage points. First, our praise-filled worship. Our praise-filled worship, declaring good words toward God the Father, a doxology of praise toward our Father God. Second, God's showering us with spiritual goodness, spiritual blessings. And such double usage can seem unique to us, but such an approach is actually very prevalent all across the biblical story. It has big linkage to the Old Testament concept of blessed, all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, when God created humans. There in Genesis 1, when he created day after day, it was good, 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 it was very good. And he spoke his blessing over the humans, calling them to flourish on the earth. And such blessed flourishing would mean ruling and reigning, leading and crafting and curating along with God in God's image. And sadly and sinfully, humans chose to declare their independence. Genesis chapter 3. And such good blessing was marred with the entrance of sin and the resulting curse of sin and death. Now redemption is needed. And a new way was necessary. And God's salvation story for forgiveness, reconciliation, rebirth, and righteousness. In God's story from Genesis 3 to Genesis 11, humanity kept demonstrating more chaotic rebellion. Over and over and over again, from the first murder to the Tower of Babel, chaotic rebellion. And in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we see God's unique call to Abram. To Abraham, he says, go. He sends him. He says, go and be a blessing. And he tells him, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing, and all families of the earth will be blessed through you. Recall how Paul was called to the Gentiles, to the nations, to people all over. Paul probably saw parallels to God's call in his life on the Damascus Road and God's call to Abraham. See, Paul knew. Paul knew it. We're big time blessed in Christ to be a big time blessing to others. Paul knew it. Through Abraham's family line, God's unfolding story, big blessing would return to humans through God's people, the people of Israel, the Jews, God's people, and then ultimately in the person of Jesus. Ultimately in the person of Jesus. This blessing language stretches all across the Old Testament, including good wishes for good life, divine declaration for very tactile, earthy things like bumper crop harvests and children born, as well as deeply spiritual momentum in people's lives and justice and righteousness to roll and forgiveness of sins and peace of heart and immense favor with God Almighty and favor with other people and peace with other people, even during extremely difficult days. We see blessed, declared over and over and over again upon God's people, even in their most desperate and difficult days. Blessing. And so number six, 22 through 27, the Lord gives Moses the priestly blessing to pass on to Aaron and the priests, and it's echoed again over and over again in Psalm 67. Number six in Psalm 67, listen to this and catch the reciprocal connection. May God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor, literally shine bright on us. May your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy because you govern the nations with justice and guide the people of the whole world. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Then the earth will yield its harvest, and God our God will richly bless us. Yes, God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear him. Notice the mission-focused, evangelistic spread of blessing. This blessing is not just something good for God's people. It's not just something to be held onto, hoarded, kept close, kept tight. Oh, we treasure it, but it's not something to hold tight just for ourselves. It's a blessing that should have amazingly good implications, good implications for those all over who don't yet know God. It's why as a church, it's why as Manor Church, we're so big on thinking and living for the next person, and for the next family, and the next place that needs Jesus. so more people get to taste and see his goodness as lived out in his people. And then in turn, people get to be responsive and receptive and also end up praising our good God. We're big time blessed in Christ to be a big time blessing to others. We're big time blessed in Christ to be a big time blessing to others. When Jesus came, the launch of his kingdom values, the heart of his royal agenda include an upside down view of blessing. Again, I do not think that means what you think it means. For Jesus, it was an upside down view of blessing. In Matthew 5, verse 3, we read, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Note that, the kingdom of heaven. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Notice it, the kingdom of heaven. "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice, be glad," Jesus says. "For your reward is great in heaven, for so men persecuted the prophets who were before you." And then in verse 13, Jesus echoes glowing gospel concept, much like Psalm 67. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world." Talk about shine bright. Talk about reflect the image of the Father's face. "It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Exalt him in praise. Give doxology to him because they see his face shine upon you and you reflect that light outward toward others." We can't miss it. We dare not miss it. Jesus' understanding of blessed is much more than a great parking spot or a surprising payday bonus. I mean, that's sweet. That's blessed, right? But it's so much more than that. In fact, right here, Jesus messes with our understanding. He messes with our understanding. It's way more than good wishes when someone sneezes. Achoo! God bless you. It's much more than asking for somebody to pray over the food before you dive into it. It's great to say a blessing over food, but it's so much more than that. It's actually motivating and mobilizing. The blessing of God, this good word, this declaring good is motivating, it's mobilizing. Notice the direction of such divine blessings, such declaration of good. Notice the direction it comes from God the Father to us in good times, but also in difficult times as we very intentionally let our light shine, reflecting our Father's gracious face. The blessing spreads. The blessing spreads. More people in more places encounter such beautiful goodness and they learn to praise him. Such good word ends up expanding to more people and they in turn praise him, which brings us right back to Paul's words in Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." We're big time blessed in Christ to be a big time blessing to others. Notice a couple things. Notice the direction is communal. Notice this blessing is actually communal. It's not just singular focus. It's not just Jesus and me. Jesus and me. It's we. Our. Us. There's a togetherness about this. We forget this too often, and this is really easy to forget right now. Right now, where culturally and the press and the stress of everything going on has caused at times too many of us to retreat way too far, pull way too far into our shells. And notice that the spiritual life from Paul's vantage point is communal. It's not simply a, me and Jesus, Jesus and me. I feel good about Jesus. Jesus is good for me. It's us. It's we. In fact, as we travel all throughout these 14 verses and on throughout Ephesians, you can't miss it. This is team sport. This is team sport, gang. This is us. This is we. This is our. We're together in this. We dare not get very fixated on just Jesus and me instead of we and us and our. And notice the blessing is spiritual. It's heavenly. This means there's more to it than just circumstantial good vibes, good events, good parking spots, good food, good people that cause us to toss out there, hashtag blessed. Now, no doubt about it. Those are everyday blessings, absolutely, but there's so much more. Klein Snodgrass says, spiritual does not mean these gifts are otherworldly. That's important to get a hold of. Spiritual does not mean these gifts are otherworldly. The expression refers to all that God's Spirit brings to enable life. All that God's Spirit brings to enable life. And Snodgrass says the letter to the Ephesians will unfold all these blessings, but the immediate context mentions election, adoption, grace, forgiveness, revelation, the gospel, and the Holy Spirit. These amazing blessings that cascade our way, and we're going to consider them step at a time in the coming weeks. And heavenly realms. Heavenly realms is not really referring to a physical location like way, 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 way out there in outer space somewhere. No. Heavenly realms is talking about a spiritual reality of the kingdom of God. That yes, we look forward to someday, but we get to taste even in the here and now. By faith, we taste of it and we experience this realm of the kingdom of God in the here and now. God's bigger realm, the kingdom in which we share, this new realm where we relate to God and others in his church. So it's so important to realize when you hear kingdom of God and you hear the heavenlies and you hear the kingdom of heaven, it's so important to realize that it's to be tasted of even in the here and now. That new realm of life. This sets our sights beyond simply the world's immediate reality of only ugliness, anxiety, and wicked unrest, all of which are rugged and feel so raw and real. But there's more to the story. There's the heavenlies, the kingdom of heaven, the bigger story. I had a collision of emotions one day this week. Collision of emotions inside. I had something very encouraging happen 1 hour. And just a couple hours later, a situation that punched me. And it was a gut punch. Now, because we're all about Jesus working in people's lives as a church, when disappointment strikes, I feel it poignantly along with you. And it's true for all of Manor's leaders, our church board, our church staff, all of us together. When something happens in our mix as family of God, we feel it deeply. And this was one of those situations. It's just a gut punch. And so I got this news that honestly, it was more like hashtag bad instead of hashtag blessed. At least that's the way it felt big time to me. And deep inside, honestly, I was pouting, I started pouting and stewing over it. And I still have some moments when that's going on for me, where I'm pouting and stewing over it. Anybody else ever pout and stew? Anybody? Anybody else? Come on, you're in church. Yeah, I was pouting and stewing over it. And I'm still working through this, but the Holy Spirit brought me back to certain truths in Ephesians. Now, if you did your homework this week, I shared with you the challenge to read all of Ephesians this week. And some of you did it. Some of you in between services fessed up to me that you didn't. Late homework will still be accepted. Seriously, read it again this week, even if you already did it. Read all of Ephesians this week and then focus every day on verses 1 through 14 in chapter 1. It'll be so good for you. But if you read overall in Ephesians, you probably came upon a spot like chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And then chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. And then chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, all of these verses relate how Christ is the one who loves us immensely no matter what, even if we take a gut punch. And I so needed reminded of that pervasive love. And I'm still trying to work through that and remind myself. Let the Holy Spirit remind me. And Christ is the one who fills us. And he strengthens us. And he matures us and completes his church. He's the one who does that. He completes his church. And so I can keep trusting him. And so this is what I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to work on all that pouting inside and free me from that so that I can even more beautifully, wonderfully trust Jesus, whose love is pervasive and who completes his church. There's more to the story. The kingdom of God lets us know that. The kingdom of heaven lets us know that. There's more to the story, a larger reality beyond what we immediately see when we tend to think, hashtag bad. There's more to the story. We're blessed. So yes, we live right here, right now in the physicality of earth, but we have further spiritual resources in Christ. And this is all part of that reality. We live in the already and the not yet. We live in the already and the not yet. King Jesus has come and there's more to come. We live in that holy tension. The here and now. We live in the rugged, rough, ugly stuff of the here and now, but we pray your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So much more gets accomplished in us and through us when we lift our perspective to the heavenlies, when we reframe toward the kingdom of Christ, toward the kingdom realm, when we recall that we are in Christ. Don't forget, Paul writes from prison. If you read all of Ephesians this week, you probably came across it a couple different times. He says, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord. He's in prison. That's a big, ugly part of the story. But he's in Christ. There's more to the story. He's in prison, but he's in Christ. That's the bigger spiritual reality, and that changes everything. Think on that. He says, we're blessed, even as he's in chains in prison. Wow. Why can he say this? He knows there's more going on because he's in Christ and our blessings are spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ. And the blessing is already ours and we're called to enter in and enjoy it and truly live it. So as we finish, let's probe further on some rich ramifications for us today. Always remember, Paul's letter is half heavy teaching, chapters 1 through 3, and half application, chapters 4 through 6. So let's talk some app. First, this reframed reality that you're blessed should evoke daily gratitude, a daily doxology. Do you do a daily doxology? Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Daily gratitude. See how Paul is drawn toward all out praise, good words. Remember, blessed, good words. Blessing toward his heavenly Father. As we'll see, the further we plow into these 14 verses, Paul has a lively, vibrant, real deal relationship with God, his Father. This isn't something dry, dusty. It's not left off in the high and lofty. It's not only academic. It's not ethereal realm out there. No, this is daily with his Father. This is close. This is personal. His Father has changed his existence. His Father has given him a new family. His Father has given him a new name. His Father has given him a new eternal home, a new realm in which to live. The heavenlies. Paul is in awe of his Father's big, powerful plans. We're going to see more of that next week together. Big, powerful plans. And they're so personal. He can't help but praise him. Are you praising God, your Father, daily? Are you doing a daily doxology? See, as we pray, we actually express our understanding about God back to God. How much of your prayer life involves that? Expressing back to God what you think of and know to be true of him. See, when you do that, it reframes not only your perspective on the here and now and the stuff that feels hashtag bad, it not only reframes that, but it starts to reframe you. And who you are at the core, and how you're growing in him when you talk to God about who God is in prayer, it's transformative. So an app question, when's the last time you expanded your vocabulary like this? God, our Father, I say you are good because, fill in the blank. What if every day you made it your aim, every day this week, to fill in the blank in a different way? Father God, I say you are good because... Fill in the blank. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Let praise flow regarding tangible blessings like family and food and your career and your parking spot at the mall and your friendships. But then dig even deeper into some of those upside down blessings. Where are those blessings that don't automatically feel like they're packaged as blessings? Reality is, this is a lot like having kids. Not like having kids. We love to hashtag blessed about our kids. Kids and grandkids. Hashtag blessed. But they're also a source of a lot of tears and frustrations and sleeplessness. Nance and I were with friends earlier this week who have little tiny ones, and we were reminded of our early days with our own tiny ones and little sleep. Nance looked at me and she was like, I wouldn't want to go back to that. In fact, those early days, our Joel, when he was a toddler, got nicknamed Taz, like Tasmanian Devil, because he at times would just spin in circles. I remember one time walking into the family room, I'd heard a crash. I came upstairs from my basement office and I heard this crash, and I came upstairs to see Joel. He was about 3 at the time, and he had found an ace bandage in a cabinet somewhere, and he had it tied around this ankle, and his ankle was in the air like this, and he had it tied over to a floor lamp which had crashed, and he had broken the shade, and he looks at me and he's like, all good, Dad, all good. I'm like, not all good. What are you thinking, Taz? He's like, I'm good, Dad, I'm good. By the way, Joel still sometimes says that to me, and he's 22 years old. All good, Dad, all good. Kids. It's all part and parcel of the blessing, really. Seriously, think about it. It's very similar to our spiritual life. Blessings are deeper and richer and bigger kingdom in nature, even more long-term, but not always felt in the everyday grind. Don't miss daily gratitude. We're big-time blessed in Christ to be a big-time blessing to others. This reframed reality should motivate us toward daily doxology and motivate us in daily mission. Daily mission. App question. How will you intentionally aim to be a blessing person this week? How will you intentionally aim to live sent on mission, to be a blessing person this week? Consider some ways to bless. Bless with prayers for others. Bless with your prayers for others. How much does your prayer life include imploring Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to work on, fill in her name, fill in his name, to work in their life, to strengthen them in their inner being, to move and motivate them on mission with Jesus, to protect them, to defend them, to strengthen them, to allow them to rejoice. If I'm not careful, my own prayer life melts down to, Jesus, just bless me. Please bless me. Get me through this mess. Jesus, just bless me. Get me through my mess. And it becomes this me-focused thing instead of, will you pray blessing across others? It could be great to just this week start every day saying, I'll pray for one or two or three or five or 10 people. Bless with prayers for others. Bless with generosity. Bless with your generosity. Give gifts of finances and goods to others and to God's kingdom work. Bless with generosity. Bless with your words. Bless with your words. Yes, be that literal. If blessing means good words, how much are you encouraging other people? There is a starvation of encouragement in people's lives right now. Starvation of encouragement. When's the last time you just texted somebody and said, yo, great job. Yo, praise God for you. Thanking God for you. Spread encouragement. Bless with your good words. Celebrate with others. Bless with the ultimate good news. Match up. Watch how blessing kisses with evangelism. Bless with good words that share the truth of Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection that overcomes sin and that ushers in the new kingdom. That full grace, that reversal, that redemption, the sweetness of renewal. Proclaim it to others. Share it this week. Bless with good news. Bless with your unique, holy way of living. Bless with your holy way of living. We're going to talk in coming weeks more, because Paul's going to explode this concept of what it means that we are holy, holy in Christ. Bless others with your holy living. And bless with your humble service. Bless with your humble service. Don't lose sight of it. A few weeks back, we had our Manor Serves Week, and it was phenomenal, explosion. Hundreds of you served. I mean, you're shaking your heads and smiling right now. Don't lose the glory and the glow of that and realize you can do that every day. Watch for the opportunities. Grab the opportunities. In the coming weeks, you're going to hear more about further into fall and toward the holidays, some very special, again, Manor Serves opportunities. So be watching, be listening, anticipate. We're big time blessed. Big time blessed in Christ to be a big time blessing to others. So how are you going to be a blessing this week? How are you going to be a blessing? Let's stand. Team's going to come lead us in a closing song. Let's stand together. Let's let this song, even as we proclaim incredible words and proclaim our praise to him, let's let this song motivate our hearts toward the blessing we know in Jesus. Father, thank you so much that we are blessed in you, blessed immensely. Precious Jesus, thank you so much. We are in you. So much of life might feel like we're in prison. We are in you. Holy Spirit, thank you that every blessing is of you, Spirit. It's spiritual blessings. Thank you. Spark within us that deeper motivation to recognize how blessed we are and the opportunities we have to bless others in our path every day. We love you so much, Jesus. Thank you.